You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
There's a little pause there, Toby.
Yeah, did you like that? For effect.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether everyone would appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it, mate. I thought you just forgot about me.
I tell you what, you don't appreciate much that I do. So,
but Tobes, a quick plug. If our supporters would like to do something nice for us, we would recommend sharing what you're listening to with some of your pals.
10 stars.
10 star reviews.
Is it 10 star reviews?
That's two reviews, 5 stars.
Oh, I rate that.
And just write us a nice comment on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Something along that, and just spread the love, because sharing is
caring.
Absolutely. But first up, we've got our breaking news.
We do have breaking news. Now, mine...
I was going to say, I reckon you should start off today, but well, you already did it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm selfish, and that's okay. Steady Eddie has borrowed some of Liverpool Football Club's tactics.
What tactics has he borrowed?
So, is it, well,
I have to say, within the training, it
hasn't really talked about too much, but it's more like the skills and the honing of the skills and almost behind the closed doors kind of stuff, you know, like in team talks.
I'm not sure whether, Jurgen Klopp is a very good manager.
I think it's more man-manager things rather than stuff on the pitch.
Do you just think this is another Eddie Jones?
I think it's just another steady Eddie, just sort of going, oh yeah, I've spoken to Jurgen Klopp, and it's probably just like a text saying, well done on the weekend, bud.
Now, you got to give it to Eddie, though. He, you know, his team is looking rather slick at the moment, and
they are, but
is
you know,
going from strength to strength.
Here it's talking about the transitional parts of defence to attack. So the counter-attack, you know, football counter-attack is quite a useful tool. And rugby it is as well, but it's trying to... I don't really see how the two games relate.
No, neither do I at all. I think the man management part,
but
I think that's so different between football and rugby, because genuinely there's a level of respect amongst a rugby team that is not there with a football team. And I'm not just talking from my own experience. I'm talking from people that I know sort of that have done it relatively high up. And they all say it's so different, completely different. But, mate, my first story...
I mean, I hadn't finished, but it's okay.
You have finished.
I got you last week and I got you again.
Sam
Simmons
could end up starting for the Lions and not get picked for England.
I rate this.
And you know what?
I'd do it.
If you're Gatlin and you're thinking, do I pick Billy Vunipola, or do I pick Sam Simmons?
You pick Sam Simmons.
Well,
Billy will get injured.
Potentially, but other than that, there isn't another in the home nations number eight who's screaming out,
pick me.
Mm. So I could imagine, and it has happened before on many Lions tours, Will Greenwood made the Lions before he played for England, I believe. So it's
really?
Not, it's not completely unusual,
no.
You know. And we do all
but
know.
But is it normal to sort of pick an uncapped player, you know, like the Barbarians?
I think it would be really unusual for him to start for the Lions.
Yeah.
But
to be in
the squad, I could definitely imagine that. But I don't really feel too bad. I mean, you know, you look at it, you go, Billy Vunipola, who has put a lot of work and a lot of time into. You've got Curry and Underhill. So they're a pretty, I mean, they are. I mean, and Maratoji in the second row, you've kind of got the best back three in world rugby at the moment.
No.
Loose forwards, come on. Really? Who's better?
Matera?
Oh, no, yeah, Matera, but what I'm talking about as a team, those three.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Working, I mean, maybe South Africa, maybe.
Well, we don't know
who they're going to pick. So
we don't know.
I would say you'd have to say that Curry and Underhill...
They're a class little setup, aren't they? It's just a pity they play for England. Next.
Your story then, mate. Your story.
Portia Woodman. Now, not many people may know of Portia Woodman, but she is...
Electric.
She is a fantastic rugby player.
She's as fast as that.
Oh, she shows more toe than Roman Sandal.
Absolutely, yeah.
She's as hard as woodpecker lips, and she is going for the rugby double. So
sevens and
sevens 15s. At the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then 15s for the World Cup. So they're in the same year. I think New Zealand are actually in England's pool, aren't they? The pool's just got drawn recently.
Is this for the sevens?
No, this is for the Women's World Cup.
Which is probably not a bad thing because obviously the top two will go through, won't they?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you wouldn't want to lose, would you? You wouldn't want to be England or New Zealand losing your pool and then have a shocker against one of the others.
But it sort of got me thinking, like, who else has done this? Has gone to sevens or... been in sevens and then in a World Cup. So there's a couple of Kiwis. So there's main one would be Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah.
He went to the Olympics.
Did Messam go as well?
Messam, I think, went, and I think Ardi Savia went as well.
I'm not sure went to the Olympics.
Did he not go to the Olympics?
Not to the Olympics.
Right. Well, Rio anyway. So there's Messam and
Sonny
Bill. And then have also won a World Cup. Now, New Zealand didn't win the sevens in Rio.
No.
But the New Zealand women's sevens are class.
Yes.
The New Zealand women's...
So she genuinely has a chance to do both.
To do the double.
I mean, she's already won the women's World Cup, hasn't she?
I think she already has.
So therefore, she really only needs to win the sevens. Olympics.
Yes, but
and
you know,
to do it in the same year.
You know, they're less than 2 months apart. So
you're amazing,
training
isn't it?
For two different games.
Yeah, and they are different games, aren't they? They're completely different games.
So I mean she's amazing. She if you see her play, you're like you're one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I actually
men or women.
I saw a really good interview
or
with her.
And they, whatever you want to call them.
What's interesting is, you know, no money, eh?
Nah.
There's no money.
Just drive. The want to win.
Absolutely.
Class.
I mean, I know they do get paid a small amount of money.
Yeah, but compared to men...
Isn't that the great thing about female sport at the moment is we're seeing kind of the first real big strides forward. Like, if you watched women's rugby 3, 4, 5 years ago, they couldn't pass off their left hands, and now... it's just like boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's, you know, real school level's gone up.
I think almost, when was there was the Women's Rugby World Cup in England.
Yes.
A handful of years ago, and that's when it sort of put women's rugby on the map.
I think a lot of that's to do with the fact that with the Olympics, a lot of these countries put in money into their sevens programs. Yeah. And unlike the men, there is a huge crossover between women's sevens and women's 15s.
Yeah.
Whereas for the men,
it's specialized, isn't
it? It's very little crossover. And obviously that means that those women who are getting paid to train, especially the English girls,
yeah,
world rugby's gone up for
definitely.
Female.
Definitely.
And, you know, watching the French girls the other night, quality as
but
well.
England, English women's rugby, even grassroots is class.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much rugby in this country.
Yes.
For women. They've got so many opportunities, which is awesome. And, you know, I know New Zealand and Australia and all that, South Africa maybe have a lot of opportunities, but not all.
You can make money. You can live off the money you make to be a female rugby player over here.
Compared to male rugby, they earn nothing.
Drop in the ocean.
Oh.
I do think only really the top rugby guys get paid good money, though. Like if you're a super rugby player and you don't make the All Blacks, you know, you're not getting paid a huge amount of money.
You make a living while you play.
While you play. And you make a good living while
yes.
you play, but you only play for a short amount of time.
You only play for a handful of years and then the money slowly dwindles out when you stop playing.
Yeah. If you're a Dan Carter, you've made for life.
Richie McCaw, you're fine.
But, you know, we're talking about the top 10%.
Yeah.
And really everyone else...
Unless you're good enough to go and chase the money.
Yes.
In Europe, Japan. But anyway, that's my story, mate. And
that's
talked
a
about
long it. One, wasn't it? For you we as well. Normally we whip through your ones. And then
and you talk, you bloody dribble on.
And I'm not going to dribble on now. It's interesting, this one, which is it's sort of come to light why New Zealand potentially did not host the rugby championship. Everyone thought that, you know, South Africa and Australia did the dirty on New Zealand. But it's come out that basically the New Zealand government were in two minds. They didn't exactly fight tooth and nail to get the competition in New Zealand because they felt like it might be perceived biased to rugby and men's sport. They also were worried about the national health of the nation, and they were worried that basically if they let in rugby players, then why weren't they let in other people as well, which is a comment that you made at the time.
I get the second two comments, but I'm not sure I get the first.
No,
I don't get the bias to...
And I'll give you an example why. Because New Zealand held an international netball competition.
Yeah.
So is that bias to netball that they allowed that one to go through and not the rugby competition?
I mean, I don't mind that it's in Australia.
I don't mind it either, no. I think the only real pain is that for the New Zealand players coming back, it's a pain. But I suppose...
Yeah, but it's the same with Argentina.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm just saying it's the same for everyone, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
The only people that would have had a real advantage is New Zealand for it to be held in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I suppose Australia have that advantage, but they did have to come and quarantine and play in New Zealand for a start.
Yes, they did,
as well,
yeah.
So
it was almost a trade-off.
And to be honest, it's been a good competition.
Yeah.
Holding it in Australia. It may have given Australia a slight advantage.
Which is good, though.
Which they need.
Yeah.
And let's be honest.
And they've lapped it up.
Australian rugby needs a bit of a shot in the arm, and maybe this is going to do it.
Mm.
So... I've got no issues with
that. No, neither.
And actually, I think probably it was the best solution.
Yeah. Right, my last one.
What I like is how this is breaking news. And it's like, oh, me last one. It's breaking. It's supposed to be exciting. Yeah. Punch, punch, punch.
This is my last one. This,
oh,
is, my,
yeah, this is your last
here
one.
Here we go.
Whoa.
Now, the first two Puma games... There's been a lot of niggle.
A lot of niggle.
Loads. Okay. Even the first two ones against Australia and New Zealand a lot of niggle.
Yeah. Bit of feeling. Pent up aggression.
Yeah. That's COVID, what we like though.
COVID rage.
COVID rage. I'll tell you what I was gonna say afterwards, eh?
Yeah,
you'll giggle. I can't say it on air. But Patrick Tuipulotu has sort of come out and he full on expects loads more niggle. You know, if we look at Pablo Matera again.
Yes.
He was in the middle of it.
There's one thing you can be sure that the Argentinians will bring, which is emotion.
Emotion, and heart, that, and that feeling.
Comes, that comes in niggle. It's
feeling and emotion are the same thing, but I said them both just to be sure.
Just to confirm.
Yes, just to confirm. So, you know, are New Zealand going to be sort of like, oh, they were quite niggly, or are they going to go, right, we'll give it back to them?
No, I think New Zealand will do everything they possibly can just to be the peacemakers, get the referee onside. And I don't think they did that very well last time.
No.
We were watching this game together, the first game, didn't we?
Yeah, and we didn't like it.
We were like, you know, the Argies are bringing the niggle. And then before you knew it, like, the ref was on our back.
But that's almost it, you know.
But then we walked into that, didn't we?
Are we, compared to the first game, are we going to use their niggle against them? You know, I think the first game, we almost gave it back and the referee us.
We gave as good as we got.
Yes, but the referee saw
us.
Us more than them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And are we going to then take a back step and go, well, we're going to use it against you now?
Yeah, we're going to make a point.
You know, we're not going to do anything back,
yeah,
but we're going to point it out to the referees.
Yeah.
Or is that
yeah.
a bad thing?
Look so what he's basically
doing. Harden up, man. Yeah, we're gonna be.
You're gonna dob them in. You're gonna be that snitch. <We're> gonna,
snitches get stitches.
That's exactly what we're gonna do.
Pablo, hurt me.
Oh, you gotta love Pablo Montero, though, don't you? Like,
nice
how
class.
Cool is he? Did you see him give his top? Give his top away to the little kid.
Yeah, I saw that. That's class.
Brilliant. You know, it was like Sonny Bill, but better. You know how Sonny Bill gave away his medal to that, like, English kid?
The English kid ran out onto the field, didn't he?
Whereas this was a genuine fan of Argentinian rugby.
Yeah.
Who just couldn't even control his emotion. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely brilliant. Mate, Wayne Pivock. I feel sorry for the lad. Because he's now lost the plot completely when he says he makes statements after beating Georgia 18 points to nil, being 10-0 up after about 10 minutes. He makes a statement which is, Wales head coach Wayne Pivock welcomed a step in the right direction.
Is it a step in the right direction?
No.
It's a step sideways.
It's not even a step. It's Georgia, and you only just scraped a win. I mean, it's embarrassing. I'm really sorry, Wayne. I know you had your B team out. But
that's not the point.
The only games he's won in charge of Wales is a game against Italy, a game against the Barbarians, and a game against Georgia. So, you know, step in the right. You're going backwards.
I know, ridiculous. Do you think Georgia are professional athletes? Do you think
no,
they get
they're
paid?
Not. Oh, they get some funding from Georgian rugby, but it's pretty much.
Do they have their own jobs whilst they're
100%,
not?
100% they have their own jobs, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all on furlough at the moment.
I know, it's BG. It's BG. They got a whooping on the weekend, didn't they?
They had another 28-0, mate.
Yeah.
You know what? It was like they didn't even turn up.
Oh, that's such a bad joke. Because they didn't.
Yeah, COVID got them again, eh? Do you know anything bad in the world right now, you just blame COVID, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
But Wales should blame COVID.
Well, Wales, I'm sure, how?
England blame should blame COVID.
What for?
Well,
being bloody good.
No, bloody good.
They are, eh?
No, they're not.
They are. Okay, last story here is Craig Cooper opens up about treatment at the Reds. So in 2018, Cooper was basically told by Brad Thorne that he was fifth fifth best choice for the Reds at 10.
Who was in front of him?
Well, this is, it's just rubbish. I mean, he's in line for the Aussies. So he is one of the best 10s in Australia. But basically, his point is this. Brad Thorne basically made him feel so devalued that he wanted to leave. And it's because they couldn't really afford him. You know, if they sold him, got rid of Cooper, then it meant that they could spend more money on a whole group of other players. I'm surprised by that. I would have thought Brad Thorne would have been straight talking, listen, Quade, you know, I played for the All Blacks, you played for Aussie, I didn't like you when that happened, I don't like you now, I don't really want you in my squad, we want to sell you so we can invest some money in some young talent.
Where is he now?
I actually don't know where he is. I think he actually may have the boots up, or he's in Japan.
I was just going to say, is he in Japan?
I reckon he's in Japan.
How about I do a little squiggle?
You do a little bit of work. But I have to say, I'm really surprised by Brad Thorne, because I genuinely thought that Brad Thorne, as I said, would have been that straight-talking, common-sense approach. And to say that he was fifth choice for the Reds in sort of pre-season is an absolute joke.
That's just not very nice.
No. I thought more of Brad Thorne than that. The only time I wouldn't say what I'm saying now is if Brad Thorne was in the room, and then all of a sudden...
He'd be a scary, 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 scary guy, wouldn't he?
What have you found there, mate?
Rebels 2019...
Yes. And I'm sure he went off to Japan after that.
There's no current.
No.
So I don't actually know. Is that one for the listeners to help us out?
Yes. If you know where Quade Cooper is currently playing, please, please let us know.
Or present. Someone liners. Oh, in Japan.
Excellent. We got there in the end.
Yeah, this I'm not even going to pronounce that.
This is going to take quite a lot of editing. Can I just...
Kintetsu. Liners.
There you go. Mm. Thank you for that.
This is going to take no editing at all.
It's going to take a lot of editing.
No, shush.
Anyway, mate, right. We're moving over to the results.
We are.
Of the
Shall
weekend.
I kick off?
you do the Mitre 10.
I'll do the Mitre 10. Auckland had a close win over Waikato, 23-18. Hawke's Bay had a huge win over Taranaki, which is quite surprising.
So they will be playing Northland in the final of the sort of cup.
Yes.
Who had a great win over Otago.
Yeah. So they won 59-23. Tasman beat Bay of Plenty 19-10. And as Damien said, 32-19 to Northland against Otago. So they had a good win there as well.
Who do you reckon is going to win out of Auckland, Tasman?
Auckland.
Yeah, I do agree, because Tasman have got so many players in the All Blacks.
Yes.
They're basically this. I think there's 10.
10.
10 players in the All Blacks.
Is Canterbury in the... Oh, no, the way they're not.
No, mate, they didn't make it. Okay, the internationals over the weekend. We saw a...
New Zealand, South Africa... Cancelled. Why is that even on there?
Yeah. Argentina, Australia, 15 points all.
Yeah, wow.
We'll get into a little bit of that, but it wasn't the best game, was it?
No, it wasn't what we thought it was going to be like.
Yeah, and to be fair, all the international rugby over the weekend was a little bit of damp squids.
Lackluster.
France had a close game over Scotland. Wales, as we've already mentioned, beat Georgia by 18 points to nil. England... A resounding 18-7 win, really. Then England completely and utterly outplayed Ireland.
I thought they would have beat them by a little bit more, maybe, especially after the start that they got.
Yeah, I do agree, but in the manner they beat them...
Was it just domination?
It was just domination. Mm. In fact, I've very rarely seen... Such a one side. Oh no, I did Argentina versus New Zealand. Sorry, I did. and then there's the Italy domination of Fiji, 28 points to nil, of course, because Fiji literally didn't turn up. So we see that England atop of Group A and France atop of Group B. it's going to be a great game when they meet each other, that's for sure, because basically that's going to be the final. You want to go and do the Super Rugby Unlocked?
Yes. So the Bulls beat the Pumas quite convincingly, 21-19. The Cheetahs beat the Griquas, 28-9.
And COVID hit.
And then COVID hit for the rest of them.
Yeah. Do you know what was interesting? Is basically now, this is the halfway point, it means the Bulls have won Super Rugby Unlocked, and now they go into the Curry Cup.
Yes, they do, don't they?
But for the last game, didn't play Mornay Steyn, who's been absolutely fantastic.
Well, they didn't need to.
Yeah, they were too far ahead,
although they were 21-0 up at half-time and didn't score a single point in the second half.
There you go. And I thought the Griquas may have got their first win.
Yeah, 9-8 up at half-time.
But
didn't score a point in the second half.
Didn't score a point there. And fear, I mean, what's been interesting, mate, and we're going to get into what caught our eye, but what's been really interesting in this competition is how good were the Sharks before lockdown? And, you know, they're third.
Well, they're third. Well, I mean, they had a chance to go up into second, didn't they? But obviously, because of this virus, they couldn't play.
No.
That would have been a good match, Sharks Stormers.
And how good the Bulls were terrible before lockdown, and now they're right up there.
Flying high.
It just shows, doesn't it, a little bit of, you know, a few players leave, a few players come in, and you've got a bit of time to organise yourselves. Happy days, but fair play to Bulls. I actually can't really see the Curry Cup being any different in results.
No, I agree.
Will the Griquas get a win?
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so, yeah. So, mate, what caught your eye from the weekend?
What caught my eye, and it was part of the huge win against Taranaki, was Ash Dixon. Now, he had a fantastic Super Rugby, didn't he?
Yeah, we thought he could have made the All Blacks.
He was pushing. Well, we thought he was pushing for a place.
Yeah.
And he goes out and scores a hat-trick.
Was it a good hat-trick? Or was it a Jamie George hat-trick? Well, three push-over tries.
Nah, I'm saying it's a good hat-trick.
I'm saying he ran the length of field three times.
Three times.
He basically did Johnny May three times. What a try that was from Johnny May. He's just fast, eh?
I don't like him. I don't like
Why
him.
Why don't you like him?
Because he's good. I've put England playing bad here, thank God, but I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong. Do you know what caught my eye was the female referee with the Bulls versus the Pumas. We've seen that in Australia.
We've
now seen that in South Africa.
We have.
We haven't seen it in New Zealand.
We've seen, I think, a touchy.
A touchy? I think I'm sure that was in Australia, mate.
No, I think there's been one in New Zealand.
Has there? So we're the most sexist country out of the three, which is always good to know.
New Zealand has been like that, though, hasn't it? When is a female referee going to do an international?
Oh, it's a matter of years away. No, it's a matter of, I would say, you would expect this, so 2021.
Oh, yeah, it's close.
But all I'm trying to say is it doesn't need to be a tier one game. It'd be interesting when's the first tier one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say Rugby Championship or Six Nations.
Yes.
I'd probably say it's a couple of years away.
I think, but it shouldn't be. You know, why can't they be as good as men?
No, I'm not saying that they can't be.
No, I know.
But there's only two occasions where they've refereed a Super Rugby match. So therefore, with that in mind,
I would love to see them be able to referee on a consistent basis in the Super Rugby.
Yeah, I think next year they will.
You know, sort of almost every week she does one or whoever.
I think they'll just be put on that rotation like they have been.
So touchy, touchy, main game, touchy, touchy game, touchy, touchy game.
Okay. Touchy, touchy.
Touchy, touchy. Touchy, touchy,
feely. Next up, mate, Argentina. Argentina. Oh, did you want, you do it?
Yeah, no, I won't do your one.
Oh, okay, I'll do my one.
Yeah, you go, mate. You go.
So, Oz Argentina match, not as intense as the ABs match the week before. And both teams were just defence mind. Two defence. You know, we expect the Northern Hemisphere
Yes.
To be defence minded.
This was a Northern Hemisphere game.
This was a Northern Hemisphere game, wasn't it? Oh. And I think, like, the Aussies saw New Zealand get beaten by Argentina and went into the match thinking, we have to play it tight, else the same thing will happen to us.
Yeah.
But they played it tight, and pretty much the same thing happened to them. So it's going to be really interesting going into this weekend's match, New Zealand-Argentina, because I didn't see any evidence that New Zealand could break their defensive line. Right. And everyone's just expecting New Zealand to break their defensive line. Well, I look forward to seeing it.
Like you've said here, the intensity, no way near as high.
No.
And when it wasn't that high in the first sort of 20 minutes, I was like, well, I think Australia will win this.
Yes.
But they did well.
Oh, Argentina, take your hat off to
them.
They
did really well.
They stuck in the fight and arguably could have snicked it at the end.
Yeah.
But again, Australia could have nicked it at the end and
again,
didn't.
Again, a bit like our draw with Australia.
Yes.
It could have gone either way at any point.
Real hats off to Argentina, though, to play like they did against New Zealand.
To win and then draw a game.
To then back it up. The big question will be, they're not going to have a break now. So they've got New Zealand and Australia again.
Can they do it again and again?
Yeah, and they did it. They've done it again. Yes. But then can they go
again? Will that intensity slowly wear off as the games go on?
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because you know when they played in the Jaguares?
Yes.
It basically was the national team.
Yeah.
But when they played as the national team, they didn't play with as much emotion.
Well, they played almost a different game.
Yeah, so I think there's an argument for having two professional clubs in Argentina.
Yeah.
Just so when they come
imagine
together.
Imagine the rivalry.
Just so when they come together, it's like the Argentina that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Which is the Matera saying, treat me with respect.
Yeah.
You know, and all that. Because we didn't see that, literally.
No.
Jaguares would play week in, week out, and then the same guys would put on the Argentinian shirt. And I don't think it
and
had
it's
as
just
much.
Like playing Super Rugby.
Yes. And that was part
imagine
of the
imagine having
issues.
two
Argentinian
teams.
Baby.
France still doing okay, even with a close game.
Yeah, I've put here that France kind of, it's the first time I've seen the old France back where they don't have a lot of kind of intensity over, they're up and down in a match. You know, we've got very used to seeing France play well in the first half and then have a bad second half.
Yes, yeah.
Or bad first half, good second half. But actually recently we've seen, you know, France sort of string big parts of the match together.
Yeah. Well, you look at that game back to that Ireland game. They controlled that game really well.
Didn't do as well on the weekend.
No.
Thought they were going to win. Did win.
Closer than we thought.
Yeah. And Scotland didn't deserve to win.
No. Well, they didn't win.
Do you see Stuart Hogg miss the kick into the corner with the last play of the game?
Yeah. Village. Yeah. That's a coach killer.
That's an absolute coach killer. Absolute coach killer. But Richie Mwanga did it the week before, just before half time, didn't he?
That's
but this was
true.
At the end of the game, so
yeah.
They had an opportunity to potentially draw the match, and he went literally for the corner and missed, went dead, game over.
Wow.
Mate, I hate to say it, but England was so much better than Ireland, and I'm going to tell you why.
No, you don't have to. Moving
they're
on.
6, 7, and 4, so Underhill,
yeah.
Curry.
Yeah.
And here we go. Itoje.
He got man of the match, didn't he?
I mean, I have to say, he got 25 tackles.
Wow.
25 tackles attempted, 25 tackles success. He had won all his own line-out ball and stole a couple of theirs. I got to give it to him. He's a good player.
He was okay this game.
And then you got Underhill and Curry.
Yeah, they're good.
Especially Underhill. He is someone that you would not want to meet in a dark alley,
ugly.
Would you?
How broad are his shoulders?
I know. He's an absolute monster, isn't he? Absolute monster. I hate to say it, but England and South Africa are going to be so hard to beat.
Yeah, but they always are.
No, they're not. No, England are not always that hard to this England team now.
The last sort of three or four years, both have been very, very hard to beat.
In fact, I'd go as far to say as even, what was it, the 2015 World Cup.
Yeah,
England
played really well in that.
But even though they got knocked out, you could see that was the start of them being a very good side.
They were very, very young, actually, weren't they?
Yeah.
I've sort of put here, Wales would have thought they could put a few more past Georgia. When we touched on it a little bit.
I think the bigger question is, if you're a Pivac and your team hasn't played that well, hasn't really strung any phases together, hasn't really shown anything, would you completely and utterly change your team going into the Georgian match, or would you stick with them and say, come on, lads, let's put it out there against Georgia, let's set a marker? I thought it was a bit of an odd thing to...
I would have set a marker.
I think those guys now with a week off, are they going to be in a better situation?
Do you think they went away from that game going, wow, we suck?
I definitely thought that they sucked.
But, like, you know, 18-0, yeah, that's all right. But against Georgia, a Tier 2 team?
I think the proof will be in the pudding. When Georgia play Italy... And my guess is Italy are going to dominate them. You know, that'll be the real embarrassment for Wales.
Yeah.
But if Georgia
but then Georgia could...
Yeah, if Georgia do a great job against Italy, then I will stand corrected. But as it currently stands, I think that Georgia are by far and away the worst team in the competition. And Wales only just beat them. I have to say, mate, well done to the Bulls first after a poor normal start to the comp. Really, really well done. And the other thing that caught my eye, and the last thing that caught my eye, Tobes, was that in the Argentinian coaching box, all the coaches had on team kit, apart from one. Who was the one?
Michael Checker. I wonder why that was.
Leopards don't change their spots. He's just that controversial guy, isn't he?
Or is he, you know, they're playing Australia, so he was being, I'm going to be respectful towards Australia and I'm not going to wear a Pumas kit.
That's such a good comment.
Yeah.
I never thought that. Yeah. That might have been quite true. He might have been, listen, lads, you know, I'm an Aussie. This is my way of being respectful to them. That's a good shout. Actually, I'm sorry, Michael. I take it all back. You're a blimmin' good guy. And you know what? I like that. Yeah. I think that's actually really good.
I mean,
it might
not be true, but, you know, it could be.
I was going to say a puma doesn't change its spots.
I know, yeah.
How bad's that?
But he did because he changed his top.
Michael, you're not wearing the team kit. And I thought at the time, we actually both mentioned it, didn't we?
Yeah.
But now that you've mentioned it, actually, I reckon that's exactly what it was.
Should we ask him?
I think we should. Let's give him a ring.
Yeah, g'day, Michael.
Mate, let's move over to our listeners' questions, and we've got a few today. I hate not to do them because people, obviously, when they email them in, especially if we haven't answered them before. Hi, guys, and greetings from the US of A. Big fan of the pod. Really love the mixture of banter and insight with just the right amount of goofiness. No idea what he's talking about. Question for you. Let's say you were coach of a team. Your team is about to play a team that is exactly evenly matched as yours, player for player, all the way down the line. But you had the magical ability to make one of your players 10% better and making the opposition in exactly the same position 10% worse. What position would you choose?
So I wouldn't be able to go.
Die Perk, I think. Is that right? Have I pronounced that right?
Die Perk.
Yeah, from the US of A.
So, great question, by the way. Couldn't go, I'm going to give my number 9 10% and your number 15.
Minus 10%. Yeah. No, it has to be has 9 to be for 9, same. 10 for 10, okay, 1 for cool. 1.
Mine would be 10.
Yeah, I reckon that's the lazy choice.
Oh, God.
But a very, I would but a very go, good choice.
I would go someone off the bench. Yeah. That's my choice as Damian Warren.
I would go Coach Tempest. Yeah, not a bad shout, though.
No, bad shout.
I'm going to go tight head prop. Right, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Right?
Why?
If you go tight head prop.
Okay.
So your tight head prop's better, 10% better. No, 20% better.
Yes.
Than the opposition.
Fantastic mathematics.
Right. Everything else is evenly matched. Okay. Then every single scrum, you're probably going to get a penalty. Because your tight head is so important.
Yeah, but how many scrum, you get scrum penalties?
Yes, I mean, scrum penalties.
What about hooker?
No, not the same.
Throwing in the lineup.
But 10%, you know, prop who they lift as well.
Yeah, they do.
10% weaker. Better. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm going to say that. The other one I would have thought, which I think 10 is a great shout as well. The other one is 12. I think.
Breaking the line.
Man on man, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can swap, can't you?
What do you mean?
Well, defensively, you can swap. So if you...
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
So they can sort of figure it out and go, oh, he's a lot better than I am. Can you swap and tackle him? And they'll just swap.
Hey, Dave. Can I move to 13 and you move to 12?
He's a bloody cracker.
This kid's blooming good, eh?
But he's just as good as you are.
Yeah. We're so evenly matched apart from me, who happens to be 20% worse. Brilliant, yeah.
So, that's a great shout. Really good shout.
I would like our viewers to give us a little bit of a vote on this. Do you think you'd want your tens to be in this position, or do you think your tight head prop? Some would say loose head prop, you'd probably get a very similar, but I think tight head's like the cornerstone of the scrum.
Yeah.
So, important. My question to you, yes, Tobes, is this.
I haven't even looked at it.
Have New Zealand got worse, or have the chasing group of countries just got better?
Great question.
So, obviously, New Zealand have been average.
This is my question to answer.
Yes, I'm just clarifying for the listeners.
Okay, fine, cool.
Sorry.
I mean, they did lose last week, so. I think a bit of both. I think Forster.
Yeah.
No, it's not Forster, it's Foster.
Foster, mate.
Yeah. You keep on saying Forster, now I'm keep on saying Forster.
I never said that.
Foster, Ian.
You used to say Smithy, mate. Ian Smith.
I did I? The commentator.
I say Fozzie.
You do say, let's just keep it at Fozzie.
Yeah.
Fozzie wasn't the best choice for New Zealand, I don't think. Are our players potentially a bit cocky at the moment? Or going into that rugby champion, Tri Nations? I think so. But also I think the chasing group is a lot better.
I actually think this, I mean, it's a bit of a poor question because who's the chasing group?
The tier one teams.
You know, we came third in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So there's two teams ahead of us, England and South Africa.
Yeah, especially in the world rankings too.
Let's just say we have said that that's the chasing group.
Yeah, but I said it last week. New Zealand is still the benchmark in world rugby.
We had a great comment on Twitter, which is, you guys play great brand of rugby, but you're no longer the benchmark.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Did he say the benchmark was?
No, I asked him that question and he hasn't come back to me on that. I don't think New Zealand have got worse. I think New Zealand have just stayed.
Yes.
And have become predictable,
yes,
like I've mentioned before.
They need a fresh of breath air. A breath of fresh air.
They do. I would say that New Zealand have developed their game over time. They've always been happy to share their knowledge with other coaches and whatever. And what's ended up happening is they've shared all their knowledge. Everyone's copied them. And they've stopped adapting now. So therefore, they haven't really adapted for probably like 2 years, apart from the double pivot.
yeah.
which doesn't work.
No.
Which is Fozzie's idea. And he stuck with it.
Yeah, I know.
He's like a... I was going to say something bad. I can't really say that. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, just holding on to something just because they want to eventually be proved right. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it might even be too little too late for them.
So I think they could potentially solve a lot of their issues if they have the right team on the pitch. But consistently he's not picking the right team.
No, I agree.
But if they do and give them time, they're not. I could see them, you know, actually the players driving a new system forward and getting around these problems rather than the coaching staff. That's for sure. What's your question for me, mate?
My question to you, what is your favourite team outside of New Zealand, both national and international?
International would have to be either France or Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah, I love
it. I'm surprised.
I like Scotland because I always felt they play, they're always the underdog. They're always the...
For a good reason.
Yeah. But France, you can't beat France.
You can't beat a good
love the idea of playing French, flowing rugby. You know, the weather's lovely. They've got the wine there, you know. There's so many similarities between French rugby and New Zealand rugby. So I like that.
Yeah.
Like the characters that have come out and the, you know, the laissez-faire.
What about national team?
Yeah, now I don't really have a national team. In saying that...
What about like the Rebels?
Yeah, I would say if I had to pick another team in Super Rugby outside of New Zealand, I'd go the Rebels. I like the fact that they've, you know, done what they've done. I quite like the Reds this year. I thought the Reds were pretty good. Love the Sharks from, you know, South Africa, the way that they were playing. And over here, I'd probably say I'll support Leicester because my mate supports Leicester and they need all the help they can get at the moment.
They do.
But, yeah, you know, for me, it's one team. And
I like
it's
the Sunwolves.
Sunwolves were great, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
They were great. Yeah, actually, I'm going to scrap everything. The Sunwolves
And
were
I like the
great.
Japanese national team.
Love the Japanese. Yeah. What am I doing?
I don't know, mate.
I'm having a shock
here.
You've got
your head screwed on.
I just kind of, I have to say, I like the Argentinians.
Yeah, I like the Griquas.
The Griquas, jeez Louise. Yeah, so that's who I'd pick anyway. Next question up.
Oh, we're going question again.
Yeah, we're going question, and we're going to keep one for next week. But okay. This is from David Sally.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you this. Do you think the ABs suffer from a depth issue? More specifically, are the ABs suffering because they have so many players playing out of position, specifically Bowden Barrett, 10, not 5, you know, at 15. Geordie, he should be playing 23, but he's on 11.
Yeah.
Savia, who's playing at 6 but could be playing at 8. Rico, et cetera. I feel like the ABs are opting to play people out of position to get the best players on the field, but not the best team. What do you reckon? Great question from my David Sally.
Real good question. I wonder why they are doing that. I wonder why Fozzie is choosing to play players outside of their position. You know, Rico is a bit of a... He's almost a bit of a hybrid. He's always wanted to play in those centres, but he's been put out on the wing.
Yeah.
And we like him out on the wing. But I like him in the centres more.
He isn't a 13 at the moment.
No.
He isn't. You know, I have to
But he just hasn't played there enough.
That's right. He's played there a lot when he was younger, but he played all of last season really at wing.
Yes.
I think the season before, mostly at wing. This year he's played most of it at 13 for Auckland. It's a big step up. But when he did play at 13, I know he, and we've mentioned this on numerous podcasts, I know he made some mistakes, but he also did some things that no one else can do. And I think that he needs to be given that chance. He's got a, he loves the Barrett boys, but I think he's done on this double pivot, I think he doesn't have a kicker, so therefore by having Geordie on the pitch.
But Geordie on the pitch also gives you that distance kicker.
So I think there's all these things that are rolling around in his brain. You know, he doesn't really have an eight, so therefore he kind of manufactures this Savia at eight, and Savia likes, Artie likes playing at eight. So therefore he plays him at eight, but really he's a six. I just, I don't really know. I'm not, I don't think that he's ever really been a very good selector of a back line. Yeah. And this is now going into the forwards. New Zealand have a problem that they don't have standout in every position. So like, you know, they've got Aaron Smith, you know he's their nine.
Yeah.
But really, apart from that, there's so many players. Like you got McKenzie, really good 15, but he's small.
Yes.
So therefore, is he...
Not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but is he like, you know, would he play against Ireland and they'd kick him off the pitch type thing? Geordie Barrett isn't really dynamic enough at 15. So then you got Bowden Barrett, you got Richie Mwanga, you got all of these issues. And I think, and part of that is they don't want them to go overseas either. You know, if you don't pick Richie Mwanga, then he'll leave and go to England or Japan.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so difficult, isn't it? It's so difficult for him, but...
But that's also where that man-manager comes into it too.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to have a stiff conversation, a bit like Reuben Thorne with Quade Cooper. You know, if you don't think he's good enough, don't pick him, send him somewhere else, but be straight up with the guys.
Yeah. So I, you're absolutely right. I do think that the ABs are suffering not from a depth issue.
Yeah.
They've got oodles and oodles, but they're definitely struggling with this, trying to get all their best players on the pitch.
Yeah.
But by doing that, they're muddying the water of, you know, you, what you really want is you want a 15 who's hitting the line in from fullback, and they've done it for a long time,
but, you
like
know,
Ben Smith.
You know, a few years ago, our bench was
our strongest part of
our
game.
Our strongest part of the game. You know, the bench came on and they were, you know, sometimes better
and that's what
than
I think,
our male players. That's
what I would do with Richie Mwanga. I'd pick Bowden Barrett to start.
Yeah.
And then you bring Richie on and he'd change the game.
Yes. Especially with weary legs and everything like that. But, you know, Savia was always on the bench.
Yeah.
And when he came on, he's a totally different player to whoever was there. You know, there was Kano, who's a strong runner, but not as dynamic as Artie Savia. There was Richie McCaw, who just locked onto the ball. He wasn't very dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, Artie Savia was quick, great hands.
Yeah, you're
good
know,
on
you're
his feet.
Absolutely
he had everything.
Right.
And it was good when he came on with sort of 20, 25 minutes to go and would tear people apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we need to get back to, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, Hosking Satutu arguably could start.
But he's a similar player.
And Rico's bro, Akira Iwani,
yeah,
comes on.
Yeah.
You know, and changes the game up.
Yeah.
You know, happy days. Then you play Savia at six. You play Kane at seven.
Yeah.
You play Hoskins at eight.
At eight.
And then you bring Akira Iwani on.
Yeah.
For one of those guys, you know?
And that's when they can potentially swap into those positions.
Yeah, hugely.
You know, and then it would change the game
very
again.
Very rarely do we agree with each other, but tonight...
It's been one of those nights. I don't like it.
Mate, we do have another few questions from our listeners, but we're going to keep them for next week.
Yes.
So Jack and Ollie Mantle, friend of the podcast, we've got your questions next week. We will go over those. Thank you for those questions, Drew. But we are going to finish the show today with the quiz.
The quiz.
I'm just going to get my sound
get the ding
here.
Ready for when I answer a question.
So this is for Toby, and this hopefully is for me. I've given you three very, very easy questions.
I've given you three great questions. Shall I go first?
You always should go first.
I always go first. Okay. This is my first question to you. Who currently is the top point scorer in the Tri Nations? At the 2020 Tri Nations.
So not... So taking away... Taking it away. Okay, so yeah. who are my options?
So we've got Jordy Barrett.
No.
We've got Richie Mwanga.
Oh.
Reese Hodge or Sanchez.
I think it's Richie Mwanga. That's what I think.
Okay.
But it could be Jordy Barrett. I'm going to go Mwanga. I think it's Mwanga.
Okay. You're wrong.
Damn it.
Mwanga is third.
Is he third?
Yeah, so Sanchez is on 40.
Hodge. It's Hodge.
Hodge is on 29. Richie is on 28. And Jordy is on 12.
So it's Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez.
Damn, I should have known that, shouldn't I?
He's on 40
points.
He scored
a try and he's kicked every goal under the sun, isn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas Richie Mwanga's scored some tries, but he's missed every goal under the sun. Okay, mate, over to my question for you. You could go into the lead here and you should do. Okay, so we're talking about tackles won. Who?
Oh, my gosh.
Who has made and been successful? So these are successful tackles.
Okay.
Who's made the most in the Tri Nations so far?
Okay.
You've got Sam Kane.
Yeah.
Pablo Matera.
Okay.
Crema, who's the seven for Argentina.
Oh, yeah, big guy.
Or Michael Hooper.
I think it's Sam Kane.
You think it's Sam Kane?
I think it's Sam Kane because I think in the first one he scored, he tackled like 25 times or something in the first game. I'm going to go Sam Kane.
You're going Sam Kane?
Yes.
100%?
No, I'm not 100%, but I'm going Sam Kane. Oh, I hate that noise.
Mate, Michael Hooper, 43 tackles.
43.
Crema. 42.
Wow.
Sam Kane, 29.
A what?
I know. Bizarre. Reese Hodge, 25.
Reese Hodge. It's because everyone was trying to run over him.
Mate, Pablo Matera, not even featuring until, I think, sixth position.
Wow.
So there you go. So I'm so glad that you got it wrong. Second question.
No, this is mine.
As in might you give me the...
Okay. This is about Rugby Unlocked.
Oh, great.
This is a fantastic question for me. How many yellow cards were shown in Super Rugby Unlocked the weekend just gone? Was it one, was it two, was it three, or was it zero? So there were... Let's go through the games. So there
was only two games.
There were two games.
Yeah.
One, two, three, or zero?
There was two games. I think there was two yellow cards in one game. I'm just guessing there might be three. But you've given me that face, which tells me there's not.
What face?
That face. It's either zero or three, I think.
Okay.
So I'm going to go zero.
You're wrong.
I was joking. I meant three. No. I think three. Seriously.
It's wrong.
Is it two?
No, it's one.
Oh, it's one. Oh, man.
Did you push it?
Yeah.
We push it again? Yeah, I heard it that time. Yeah, so there was one yellow card.
That was in the Sharks Stormers game. What a ridiculous question.
That was in the Sharks Stormers
game. So much rugby on. I'm trying to watch all this rugby.
Mate, you're not even picking up on that. It was in the Sharks Stormers game.
You're a horrible man.
Well, they didn't even play.
Right, mate. Defenders beaten.
It was actually, I think, in the Cheetahs Griqua game.
Okay. I don't care.
No. It's gone now. It might be in the other one.
Defenders beaten.
Yes.
Who has beaten the most amount of defenders? Is it Jordy Barrett, Richie Mwanga, Jordan Pitaia, or Caleb Clark?
A great question. That's so tough. That's so tough. Because I think in the first one where we, when we went through Australia, Richie Mwanga, you know, beat a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think Caleb Clark has been that prolific of late. I think it was like in New Zealand when he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the other two?
How good was he in that game, though? Was that New Zealand?
So good.
Was that in New Zealand?
I think it was. I could be wrong.
In this, I think it was his first start, wasn't
it? Yes.
He was good, wasn't he?
So good. Who were the other two?
Well, you got
Jordy Barrett and Jordan Pataya.
No, not Jordy Barrett.
Oh.
You got Caleb Clark.
Yeah.
Jordan Pataya.
Yeah.
Richie Mwanga,
yeah,
or Jordy Barrett?
Oh, it's out of Richie Mwanga and Jordan Pataya. Oh, I'm going to go Richie Mwanga.
It's actually Jordy Barrett.
Oh, is it really? We bag him so much. But
To be fair, I have to give you that's correct, because it's actually joint Richie Mwanga and Jordy Barrett.
Well, Jordy Barrett wasn't even on the list.
No, he was.
You didn't give me him as an option.
I did, but I didn't realise at the time. He's at the top, but I didn't see that he's joint equal.
Yeah, but I said Jordy Barrett, and you were like, no.
No, did you say Jordy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you went, no.
Okay, so anyway, okay. I apologise. I won. No, we've got one more question, mate.
Okay.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay, are you ready for the last question? Another Tri Nations question.
Oh, okay.
Who was the last winner of the original Tri Nations? Was it New Zealand?
No, it wasn't New Zealand.
South Africa, Australia, or Fiji?
Not Fiji.
I had to put the fourth one in, otherwise you'd be like,
I have a funny feeling it's Australia. I know it's not New Zealand. I think it's Australia. Final answer.
Oh, hang on, I need a look. Are you sure?
No.
Oh. Damn, I always ask it, but I shouldn't. Is it your final answer?
Yes.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, you're correct.
Oh, thank God for that. Yeah, I just had a funny feeling.
Yeah?
I knew it wasn't in New Zealand. You know, it's the one trophy they don't have. Well, there's a couple they don't have at the moment, one of them being the World Cup. But
they don't have the original Tri Nations.
No. Okay, so the last one here is this. Scrums.
Oh, yeah, real easy ones.
Okay, so what...
How many inches are the studs of everyone in the scrum?
Okay, don't be like that. Let's go for...
No, what do you mean, let's go for?
Oh, okay, I was going to go for scrums, and you've taken the mick out of scrums.
I want that scrum one.
Okay, so where do New Zealand rank in percentage of scrums?
Oh, gosh.
Are they first, second, or third? So you've only got three choices, which means that you've got a 33.333 recurring percent chance of getting this right if you guessed.
If I guess right.
So are they first, second, or third in their percentage of scrums won?
One. Scrums won. I'm going for a stab in the dark, and I'm going second.
Final answer.
Oh, I got it wrong. Are we third?
We're third, mate.
Yeah.
Argentina, 100%.
Are they first?
Australia, 93%.
Yeah.
New Zealand, 87%.
Wow.
That is a damning.
We're normally okay at scrums.
We are normally.
I tell you what.
Top of scrums, Argentina, top of lineups.
Used to be amazing at scrums. Then they dipped down. Now they're where they should be.
Well, last year in the Super Rugby competition, they had one of the worst scrums in the competition. And now they've got one of the best scrums in World Rugby. You sorted them out.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely sorted them out. Mate, that's the end of this week's podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, people should head over and see our ugly mugs on YouTube if they really...
Why does it always come up with a square around my face?
just because it's trying to highlight just how beautiful you actually really are.
Also, I'm doing Movember.
You've been doing Movember since January, mate.
I've got a bromo.
But as always, it's an absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Join us next week for another podcast and hopefully with a New Zealand win.
Oof, God, touch wood.
Touch wood.
Yeah. Catch you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.